Okay, welcome everyone to the New You in the New Year, lesson number 4. Today we're going to be talking about exercise, but in a very different way than what I'm sure you're used to and what we're all used to. I want you to kind of get rid of this idea of calories in, calories out, and that we're exercising to burn calories, because it's been proven time and time again. When you're just doing slow calorie-burning type exercise, what typically happens is you're hungrier, and if you do it too much, your cortisol levels end up going up, and you end up actually gaining weight rather than losing weight. And I remember I actually did try this when I was living in New York back in the 90s, and I was gaining weight all the time. I used to ride the stationary bike for an hour and watch TV while I was doing it. And I remember it was one of those that could say how much calories I burned. And I remember it saying that I would burn like 300 calories or something for an hour. And I remember thinking, God, 300 calories for all that work, you know, why not just not eat a sandwich or something like that during the day? And when you do look at calories, weight loss is simply a calorie burning tool. It just, the math doesn't add up. It's not worth it. But when you do exercise the right way, that is to create a hormonal shift in your body to actually trick your body. I'm going to repeat that. Actually trick your body into thinking it needs to be thin for survival. Because remember, the whole point of weight, how much weight you have, how fat or thin you are, is an equation your body does based on survival. If your body thinks, according to your body's programming and logic, that it's safer to have more weight on, then you're going to have more weight on. If your body thinks it's safer to have less weight, you're going to have less weight. So using exercise as a tool to trick your body into thinking that your body needs to be thin in order to survive is the right way to do it. And you only have to do that for a couple of seconds. So let's get into it. The first thing I want to say is that typically when our fat programs are on, when your body wants to hold on to weight, you don't want to exercise. You don't have energy. That's an intentional part of your body's operational mechanism to get you to hold on to weight. If, according to your body's logic, it's safer for you to have more weight, you're going to be tired. Your metabolism's going to slow. You're not going to want to exercise. That's typically where we all start out. But as you address some of the stresses that we talked about in weeks 1, 2, and 3, reducing stress, healing digestion, nourishing your body better, when you do these things, reducing inflammation, when you do all these things, there's a hormonal shift that takes place in your body. It may not happen immediately, but it does happen. And when it happens, you have more energy. And what I'd like you to do is be open to the possibility that if you're in a place right now where you do hate exercise, or you are tired all the time, or you don't want to exercise, in general, you don't like it, whatever, be open to the possibility that you will be changing and you will want to start being more active simply out of having more energy and the joy of movement. So I want you to be open to that, because when you address these issues, you have more energy. You have more of a desire to be physical and to be active. And so that's the time to exercise. And the other thing that I want to say that's really important is that exercise may not be right for you right now. We're giving this information to you over 5 weeks, but you could spend 5 months or 6 months or a year going through this information and going at your own pace. You have to work with what is right for you. And if you're in a place right now where you've got a lot of emotional issues, past emotional traumas that you're working through, you just don't feel safe in the world, you're overwhelmed, or you're tired all the time, it's better for you to get naps right now, to have naps, do stress reduction breaks, work through emotional trauma, nourish your body, get massages, do saunas. Those things are better for you than exercise right now. Exercise can put you over the edge, unless it's real, real brief types of exercise. I worked with a lady one time where we did not talk about exercise for 6 months because she had emotional trauma that we had to work through. And even in working through the emotional trauma, it turned out that we uncovered trauma that it was so traumatic that she had buried it from her conscious. And so we were uncovering layers and layers of trauma. And it wasn't until 6 months into working with her that we even talked about exercise. But I knew the time was right. I could see she had more energy. She had more vitality. She was feeling safer in the world, more confident. The issues had gone away, and it was time. And when we did that, she then went on to lose over 100 pounds and has kept it off for years. And that's because she addressed the real issues. So this may not be the right time for you to focus on exercise. It may or may not be. We will put it in the action steps for this week. And if it's not right for you, then you can do it when it's right for you. So that's an important disclaimer. So what we want to do is, rather than focus on exercise as a calorie burning tool, as I mentioned, we want to focus on exercising the right way, in a way that gets your body to actually want to be thin, because that's what it's all about. Your body has a program that decides your set point and your body weight, and it's a program that's outdated for our modern life, but it's still the program that's the deciding factor. If you use exercise the right way, you can get your body to want to be thin and to shift your set point automatically, and so that you lose weight easily and practically effortlessly. And the way to do it is to activate what I call the get thin or get eaten adaptation. So we talk about what life was like thousands of years ago, and thousands of years ago there were times when our body wanted to be fat for survival reasons, but there was also times when our body wanted to be thin. For example, if it was warm out and there was plenty to eat, like you're living in a tropical paradise, not that this picture in any way, shape, or form reflects a tropical paradise, but let's say you were living in a tropical paradise where it was warm all the time and there was plenty of delicious foods, tropical fruits and vegetables and meats and nuts and seeds, everything that you needed, fish, it was all there. You could eat as much as you want, whenever you want. So if you're living in a warm place, warm climate, living outdoors where there's all the healthy food and nourishing food you can eat, your fat programs are not going to be activated. Your body's not going to want to hold on to weight because there's no famines and there's no cold weather. But let's take it a step further. Let's imagine that if you were living outdoors in that tropical paradise, there were tigers out there chasing you. Every once in a while, they'd come into the village or whatever, and they'd chase you. And you had to be faster than everybody else. You had to be lightning fast, 30 seconds, life or death, to escape being attacked. And if you didn't, you were dead. So that experience of being chased by a tiger, that experience of having to run as fast as you can for 10 or 20 seconds, it's not going to burn any calories, but what it is going to do is it is a stress on your body, but it's not the chronic low-grade types of stresses that we talk about all the time that activate the fat programs. The chronic, like being in a famine, is a chronic low-grade stress. You don't have to, it's not going to die in 30 seconds if you don't do anything. You might die over weeks or months. It's chronic. It's low-grade. It's not depressing. Running from a tiger is an acute stress. It's also a stress, but it causes very, very different chemistry in your body. It causes chemistry that makes your body want to be thin. It activates the get thin or get eaten adaptation. When you have this stress in your body becomes very efficient at burning fat. Your metabolism speeds up. You're not hungry. You crave healthier foods. And you experience weight loss without restriction because your body wants to be thin. There is nothing more powerful than making your body think that you need to be thin in order to survive. And I'm just going to repeat that because it's so important. From a weight loss perspective, there is nothing more powerful than making your body think that you need to be thin in order to survive. And that's what we're going to be talking about here. We're going to be talking about how to use exercise as a tool to activate these get thin or get eaten adaptation stresses. And the important thing is that you don't have to do it that much. As I said, if you were actually being chased by a tiger, you only need to do it for 30 seconds. And if you did that 30 seconds a couple of times a week and your body really believed that, hey, you are doing this for survival reasons, that's all you need to do. You don't have to do anything else. But there are other benefits to exercise, such as certain cardiovascular and improved aerobic health, which are crucial to improving your energy because it's your aerobic health that also helps produce your energy. Also doing some basic strength training is really, really great because as we get older, our muscles, if we don't use them, they atrophy. And muscles that atrophy become insulin resistant. And insulin resistance causes you to gain weight. So combining all these different things, combining the get thin or get eaten adaptation stresses that are 30 or 40 seconds, I would really even say 10 to 30 second type of stresses, combining that with some basic, short-term, basic, gentle aerobic movement type exercises and strength training. Combining those three things will give you everything that you need in a very short period of time. I can do all this in 10 minutes. It usually takes me 20 minutes, but I can do all this in 10 minutes. And but let's talk about a sample 10 or 20 minute type of exercise program that might work for you. Cool. So a sample type of exercise program, if you like going for walks, some people like going for walks in the morning or in the afternoon or the evening, whenever. I love going for walks. If you're walking for like 10 or 20 minutes, just relax and enjoy the walk. Don't make it a power walk. But then every once in a while for just 10 seconds, move as fast as you possibly can. And I would say be careful. Make sure you're stretched out. Make sure you're warmed up. Get your doctor's approval. Make sure that moving fast doesn't hurt your joints. It might just be walking, but you want to walk real fast. You can apply this to many other things like biking. If you're biking, that's what I do. I bike real gently, and then every once in a while, I sprint for like 10 or 20 seconds. Biking's really great that way because it doesn't hurt your joints. It's low impact. Circular machine that's at gyms all the time. I forget what it's called, where you're on a machine and it's going in a kind of like a circular kind of movement. That's real good. It's low impact. If you're running or walking up hills, that's low impact. So you want something that's low impact, but you want to also be moving really, really fast. And the key is while you're doing this, you want to visualize, because your body doesn't know the difference between a real and imagined experience. When you're doing visualization, your body thinks it's really, really happening. They've done tests with Olympic athletes where they visualize their ideal sport and they actually improve in their ideal sport. All the neurons and muscles all get activated. Thank you, Nadia. I just got a message. It's called an elliptical. That machine I was looking for, the word for, thank you. It's called an elliptical. Yeah, elliptical machine is good. Anything, something that's low impact. But anyway, you want to add a visualization to it. And there's three different types of visualizations you can do when you're doing this type of program. One is, and this is the most aggressive type, and it's not suitable for everyone. And that is that when you're doing the sprint, you want to imagine something's chasing you and you're running away from that. That is the most aggressive type of get thin or get eaten adaptation type of thing. If you're sprinting and you're visualizing at the same time, you're visualizing something chasing you, your body actually thinks it's real. I remember telling Dr. Mercola about this in an interview, and he actually said he was going to add it to his sprinting routine. It's very powerful, but it's not suitable for everyone. If you are working through emotional trauma and you're feeling lots of stress, you don't want to imagine something's chasing you. It's just going to create too much stress. Because when you go to stress overload, when something's chasing you, you create what's called the freeze response. And the freeze response is where you don't move, and that you don't want to create a freeze response. You want to create a response where really what you want to visualize is, yeah, you're moving fast, but you're so fast that it's effortless to outrun this thing that's chasing you. It's effortless. That's one level of doing it. A second level, which is a little less aggressive, is you imagine you're chasing something. Could be your best friend, or you can imagine your best friend's chasing you like you did when you were a kid, so that's not as aggressive. Or you're chasing something, you're chasing an animal for as a meal or something like that. You can make this your own, but once again, it should not cause too much stress. You shouldn't get this feeling of overwhelm of fear. It shouldn't be an overwhelm of fear. It should be a burst of fear. You know, like if you're walking down the hall and one of your friends was hiding and yelled, boo, you know, you get a little jolt. It wouldn't be an overwhelming thing. You want this experience to be a jolt, not an overwhelming thing. And then the third one, which is the one I do these days, is just imagine while you're sprinting, your body is in the most perfect ideal shape. Because that can also communicate to your body that the reason you're doing this and that the proper adaptation to the stress, the proper changes that the body needs to make, is to be as fit and thin as possible. So you can even imagine you're like one of these sprinters, you know, that doesn't have an ounce of fat on them. And that works really, really well. And I had this experience, which was super powerful, when I was about three quarters of the way through my weight loss journey. I guess I had lost about 170 pounds at this time. And things were going great, but I wanted to take things to the next level because I did experience plateaus. I would be the same way for like 3 months at a time. And I want to get to the next level. And I was in one of those situations. And I remember I was biking, going for my bike ride and thinking about this, like, I want to take things to the next level. And literally, the second I had that thought, a dog came out of a driveway. It was in a farm area. Came out of the driveway, started chasing me. And he was screaming, yap, 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 yap. And you could see his canines chopping. And he was just millimeters away from taking out my Achilles tendon. And I stood up and I sprinted as fast as I could until the dog stopped chasing me. And over the next couple of weeks, I dropped weight like crazy. Everything just was working. And I couldn't figure out why I was dropping weight like crazy. And then I realized that what had happened was it was basically a real life scenario of a predator chasing me, creating a primal response in my body and making my body want to be thin. So what I started doing then, after I made this realization, is every time I got to that same place where that dog had come out of the driveway, and that was the only time it ever did, but every time I got to that place, I would stand up and visualize that this dog was chasing me. And that worked really, really well. And took me to the next level. And eventually, I realized that you can actually even get the same response simply by visualizing. There was a period of time where I had hurt my back, and I still was losing weight, even though I wasn't exercising, because I was visualizing that I was running as fast as I could, and either I was in perfect shape, or something was chasing me, or I was chasing something, some scenario like that. And I was just doing the visualization. And again, your body doesn't know the difference. It simply doesn't. Your body lives in the present moment. And when it gets a signal that something is happening, it doesn't know that it's coming from your visual cortex or from your cerebral cortex. It just knows that it's getting the signal. It's a little bit like, I don't know how many of you remember the Matthew Broderick movie War Games that came out in the 80s, where Matthew Broderick was a teenager, and he figured out a way to hack into a computer, NORAD's computer system. So the opening scene of this movie, there were two guys that are 300 feet below the ground. That all they do all day is they sit in these silos, or they sit 300 feet below the ground, and they get they're in charge of the nuclear silos and the nuclear warheads. And it's their job to press the button. If they get a call, press the button. It's their job to press the button. And sometimes they get calls, press the button, and they don't know if it's real or not. They don't know what's going on in the world. They are being tested sometimes, and they got to press this button. All they know is they get a call, nuclear war, press the button, and they don't know if it's real or not. They don't know where it's coming from. They just get the call. Well, guess what? The part of your brain that's in charge of how fat or thin you are, it's called your animal brain or your hypothalamus. It's at the base of your brain by your neck. That part of your brain doesn't know when you see something. It's not seeing it. It's getting an impulse from your brain that you saw something. And when you imagine seeing something, it doesn't know that you didn't see it. It just gets the same impulse. And that's why visualization is so powerful with weight loss, because if you know how to do it, it's basically you become a computer programmer for your brain. And so what I used to do, and I still do this sometimes, is I visualize that I'm in my absolute ultimate best shape. Something's chasing me, and I'm effortlessly outrunning it, or maybe I'm chasing something and I catch it. But that works so well to activate this get thin or get eaten adaptation. And then the cool thing about this is, as I said, you don't have to do it a lot. I would say do it 2 to 3 times a week. Start with 10 minutes, and then include those moments of 10 or 20 second sprints in there. It's the 10 or 20 second sprints that work. And one of the things we talk about all the time is if you look at Olympic sprinters, they are in better shape than marathon runners. They have less body fat. Sure, marathon runners have next to no body fat. So we're kind of splitting hairs a little bit. However, sprinters, marathon runners run 13 miles a day every day to get in that shape. Sprinters, they do 10-second sprints, you know, for a half hour or an hour or something like that, with lots of rest in between. And they still have zero fat on their body, lower body fat percentage. You don't have to do too much. And in fact, if you do it too much, it can cause a problem. It can work against you. If you exercise too much, you turn a good stress into a bad stress. It becomes a chronic stress that can cause you to gain weight. What we want to do is we want to have acute stresses, and we want to have rest in between these acute stresses. So you want to rest. You can do exercise Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You can exercise just like Monday and Thursday or something like that. But you want the rest in between. If you do not rest too much, you will overtrain. And overtraining elevates your cortisol levels, just like a chronic stress, triggers the famine response, causes you to gain weight. And there's been lots and lots of studies on athletes that have overtrained, and they become tired, they become foggy, low energy, low metabolism. They start to gain weight. Believe it or not, they start to gain weight. There's one study I recall that they did with cross-country skiers at the University of Colorado, where the more exercise they got fitter and fitter, and then there was this crossover point where they started actually getting flabby and out of shape. And that comes from overtraining. So you do not want to overtrain. You've got to get away from the idea that it's simply calories in and calories out. Sure, going for walks, if you like walks throughout the day, every day, you can do that. Light stretching is great. Like if you're doing yin yoga, you can do that. But this type of thing where you're evoking an acute stress, you need to then rest. You do not want to do that every day. You want to do it a couple of times a week at the most. I can tell you how I got started. This was when I was 400 pounds. Basically, what I would do is I would wake up first thing in the morning, and after I did like a quick meditation or visualization, I would just get on the stationary bike and just spin for 5 minutes. Wouldn't try to do anything except spin, and I'd be waking up during that spin. Maybe I'd be watching TV on that. And then for the next 5 minutes, I would do 10-second sprints. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people have caught on to this idea. I've been writing about this idea for 15 years, and it was 17 years ago that I discovered it. And since then, there's been people that talk about HIIT, high intensity interval training. And they talk about, the Tabata protocol, which is a certain type of high intensity on for 20 seconds, off for 40 seconds. But they all have these specific regimen which they have determined is the optimal. And some of them say you sprint for a minute, you rest for a minute. Some say you sprint for 30 seconds, you rest for a minute. Some say you sprint for 20 seconds, the magic number like in the Tabata protocols, 20 seconds on, 40 seconds off. What I want to say is it does not matter. You don't have to keep your heart rate in the fat burning range. You don't have to keep your pulse up to an ideal range. You don't have to do any of those things. What you have to do is be ready for that sprint and have it be intense. And there's a difference between how intense a 10-second sprint is than a 60-second sprint. If I ask you to sprint for 60 seconds, you're going to save some till the end. If I ask you to sprint for 10 seconds, you're not saving anything. So 10-second sprints over a five-minute period, a couple of them, however you feel. If you want to wait a couple of minutes, wait till you're relaxed and rejuvenated, do 10-second sprints over the next five-minute period. Maybe just then cool down and sprint a little bit. Cool down and just spin a little bit. And that's activating this get thin or get eaten adaptation. Then what I did was I would do 5 or 10 minutes of upper body strength training. And as I said, as we get older, if our muscles are atrophying, we're not using our muscles, they become insulin resistant. And if you look at muscles store sugar. Muscles need sugar to work, and they store sugar. And if you're not using your muscle, and if it's atrophying, then there's plenty of stored sugar in your muscles, and your muscles say, okay, don't listen to insulin. We don't need any more sugar. But what happens when you do strength training, and you don't have to do a lot of it? Again, you can do your whole upper body in 5 minutes if you want. What happens when you do strength training is imagine a sponge full of water. That's like a muscle full of sugar. Imagine a sponge full of water. The strength training is like wringing out the sponge. And when you wring out the sponge, it makes it want to suck up water again. And in the same way, when you do very simple strength training for your upper body, now you've already done your lower body already. So when you do very simple strength training for your upper body, you're wringing the stored sugar out of your muscles. And when you wring the stored sugar out of your muscles, guess what? Just like a sponge soaks up water, it wants to soak up sugar, which means it becomes insulin sensitive. It's no longer insulin resistant. And that reverses insulin resistance more than anything and helps your body burn fat. And when you reverse insulin resistance, that's when your body can burn fat again. So that simple combination of doing some sort of warm-up type of movement exercise with some 5 or 10 second sprints and some kind of five minutes of upper body sprinting, upper body strength training rather, that combination is a perfect combination to do a couple of times a week. So here's another type of thing: cycling. I like to ride my bike. So you can cycle for say 10 or 20 minutes. Warm up for 5 minutes, and then during a 5 minute period, do these 10 second sprints a couple of times. That's it. And then when you get home, maybe get on your hands and knees and do some push-ups, or some basic strength training. That's another one. Another one is, as I said, walking or running up hills is really good. I know that, like, if I only have like 60 seconds to exercise, that happens, I might sprint up a hill because it's less compression, and then do some push-ups at the end. And that's 80% of what you would get from a metabolic standpoint, the metabolic changes you would get from that is 80% of what you get from any of these workouts that I'm outlining or anybody else's workouts. And that's 60 seconds. Those are just examples. Another really, really great thing to do is to make it fun. The more playful exercise is, the more you're going to do it. And I remember also when I used to do all this exercise, these bike rides and this type of workout that I'm describing. And then I'd go to the park with my daughter. She was maybe 2 or 3 years old at the time. And I would sit there like on a park bench, like a lox, not moving because I'm exhausted. And then I realized, actually, playing with her in the park, it's like the best exercise in the world. Because what are we doing when we're playing at the park? She's chasing me. I'm chasing her. We're sprinting. We're resting. We're laughing. We're giggling. Then we're, you know, she's climbing some bars. I can climb those bars too. So you got everything. You got the sprints and you got the upper body training. And you're bonding with your child or grandchild or whoever you're playing with. So that's really, really great. The same with pets. Playing stick, chasing with a pet, tracing a pet, let him chase you. Team sports like soccer, basketball, where you're sprinting. Martial arts is really, really good, too, because it makes you feel safer. Dancing, all these things. Anything that you can, especially if you can reconnect with whatever the joy of being physical when you were a kid, something that you loved, running on the beach or just swimming on the beach, anything that you really love, that's really, really great, too. And also, another way to activate this get thinner, get eaten adaptation is with high adrenaline type stuff. Anything that's thrilling or exciting. I don't personally like to do these things myself. I'm not an adrenaline type of person. And people are usually, they're either adrenaline or cortisol type of people. And being an adrenaline person is great, but I don't particularly like jumping off of a bungee cord or something like that. I've done it once or twice. Once, actually, to be sweet. I think I might have done it twice. But anyway, I don't like those type of things, but they do get the job done. So if you do like that, skydiving, bungee cord jumping, mountain climbing, hot air ballooning, kayak surfing in rapids, anything that's creating excitement, that is going to help also. And you don't want to do it all the time because it's going to overwhelm your body, but once or twice a week doing something really high adrenaline, high exciting, that it will shift you to being like your body being an adrenaline junkie and will shift you to being thin and fit. And if you notice, most, and I do say most, not all, but most adrenaline junkies are thin, and they don't diet either, right? Have you seen these people? You ever follow them on YouTube? The ones that I like to watch are the guys that are in those wingsuits now. I've never seen anything like it, where they're just like, they're on these wingsuits, and they're flying in between crevices and mountains. You know, these guys, they're all really, really fit, and they're eating hamburgers and doing whatever they want. So adrenaline junkies usually are thin. And I remember when I wrote the Gabriel Method 15 or so years ago, I remember writing where I said I never saw an overweight, you know, adrenaline junkie or extreme sport person. And I said that, and the next day I was on the beach, and someone came down in a parachute. A parachuter came down, and he was very overweight. And I thought, okay, I can't make that. It was like the universe showing me that that's not 100% true. So no, it's not 100% true, but in general, people that are addicted to adrenaline as opposed to cortisol, they are thin people, and you see them all the time. You see them. Wherever there's events, extreme sports events, or people are out there, and they're not crazy active all day long, but they're doing their thing, and the rest of the time they're out having fun, and they are thin. And so, if it appeals to you at all, the adrenaline side of things, and some of you listening, it will appeal to you, then I say go in that direction, move in that direction, gently and carefully, obviously, move in that direction, and that works really well. It's all about, once again, getting away from this idea that it's simply about burning calories, because that's such a drudgery to think of exercise as burning calories, isn't it? Just to think, I got to sit on this thing for an hour and burn calories, and you burn 300 calories, and then you go eat lunch and you eat 600 calories more. It's such drudgery to think that you got to do it every day, like it's some kind of dues you have to pay for existence. That's drudgery. And the people that are real thin, they're not thinking of exercise as drudgery. They're out living their life and having fun and doing their bungee cord jumping and their skydiving and their windsuits and their ultimate frisbee and the kayaking. They're doing all these things and just loving life, and they're effortlessly thin. So we can take a page out of their book. We can learn from them and realize it's not simply about burning calories. And, you know, when you think of the get thin or get eaten adaptation, you know, if you were walking out, you were living outdoors in the wild thousands of years ago, and a tiger came out and chased you, you wouldn't go for a 40-minute cardio walk, right? That's not what you would do. You would have this extreme experience, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, life or death extreme experience. And I think this adrenaline type of thing, if you're jumping out of a parachute or jumping out of a plane or whatever you do, whatever these things are, bungee cord jumping or simpler versions of these type of things that are less threatening, that's 10 or 20 seconds of excitement, that does work. So if that appeals to you at all, and most of you listening probably wouldn't, but definitely some of you, if that appeals to you at all, then move in that direction, and you're going to be outdoors, you're going to be loving your life, you're going to feel excited, and all those things help you lose weight too. The more you can live your life and feel alive and happy, the less stress you have, and the easier it is to lose weight. So it's something to think about. But the important thing is that after exercising, you should not feel crazy, crazy exhausted and crazy starving and craving junk food, because then you've gone too far, you've exercised too much, you've pushed it too far, and that's going to work against you. You're going to end up eating too much, and that's going to work against you. You want to feel calm and centered. You want to feel glowing with your blood flowing, your muscles feeling toned. You want to feel good after exercise. Cool. Also, morning is a really, really great time to exercise for several reasons. One of them is that when you do something first thing in the morning, it's more likely to be a habit than when you do it at, say, 6 o'clock at night. So if your habit is you go to the gym after work, well, sometimes that's going to work, sometimes that's not. Sometimes there's a meeting that drags on, sometimes you're exhausted, sometimes you're stressed out, sometimes you're pissed off at your boss or your spouse or whatever, and you're just not going to do it. Whereas if it's the first thing you do in the morning, it's more likely that you actually are going to do it. That's the first thing. The second thing is that when you exercise first thing in the morning, if you haven't eaten for like 12 to 14 hours, like if your last meal was 8 o'clock or let's say your last meal was 6 o'clock at night and now it's like 8 in the morning, that's 14 hours. What happens is you get as much as a 9-fold response in growth hormone and testosterone, which, believe it or not, women need testosterone too. When women have too low testosterone, it can affect their weight, their libido, how well they sleep. So believe it or not, testosterone is important for women too. But you get a 9-fold increase in growth hormone and testosterone, which is really essential for losing weight. And it's 9 times greater than if you did it another time during the day. So it's great to exercise any time of the day. But if you can do it in the morning, that's for these reasons, it's really, really good to do. Cool. So let's talk about the action steps for this week. So this week, the visualization that I'd love for you to listen to this week is called the Get Thin or Get Eaten visualization, where you do imagine you're being chased, but it's not a real aggressive thing. In the visualization, I prompt you to imagine that you're smiling and easily outrunning the thing and effortlessly thin. So it is, it's not a real threatening type of experience. If you don't like it, don't listen to it, but I'd like you to try it, see what you think of it. And then if you can, if you're ready, and only if you're ready, and this is important, because not everyone's going to be ready right now to do this type of exercise. You might be working through a lot of issues right now. So be patient with yourself. But if you feel that you're having some more energy and things are working and you're feeling better and feeling less fear in your life, then 2 to 3 times a week, try 10 minutes of the types of exercises we talked about in this class and see how that goes. Don't overdo it. You can also use visualization. If you're going to exercise the next day, visualize yourself going to wherever you're going to do, getting the bike out and riding it, having a great ride, or visualize yourself walking on the beach and having a great walk, or visualize yourself at the gym and having a great workout. So before you go to sleep at night, just take a moment to visualize the next day and visualize in as much detail as you can. Just spend a minute doing it. You don't have to do it for a long period of time. Just spend 30 seconds or a minute. You can imagine tying on your shoes and putting on your, putting your clothes in the locker and doing the little things that your body that you're actually physically going to do. Visualize yourself doing it, and it's much more likely that you will actually do it if you visualize it the night before. And even more so the next morning when you're doing your Get Thin or Get Eaten adaptation visualization. Also, if you're going to exercise that day, visualize yourself exercising that day with as much detail as you can. Cool. And then also when you're visualizing, don't spend too much time doing it. Just spend 30 seconds or a minute during the visualization, picturing yourself doing the workout. And that will make it all come so much easier. Cool. Then we have our ongoing steps. Let's just review it. You want to drink 2 glasses of water with lemon or apple cider vinegar and possibly a probiotic first thing in the morning. You want to, if you can, drink a green juice or some super greens first thing in the morning or late afternoon. That's really, really great. Take a probiotic supplement. We talked about that. Eating a good breakfast if you're hungry in the morning. If you're not hungry in the morning, wait till you're hungry to eat. Don't eat in the morning if you're not hungry. That's important. But when you do eat, make sure it's got the omega, the big threes, some live food, some healthy proteins, and some omega threes. That's really, really great. If you can take digestive enzymes with meals, that's also really good. And then when you're eating, add lots of live food and healthy proteins and omega threes, but lots and lots of live food. Add lots of salad. And again, it's about adding. If you can take an afternoon stress reduction break, we talked about that last week. That is awesome. I hope you guys have been doing that and you're enjoying it. Do continue with that one. That is one of the best things you could do. Do not abandon that habit. Take that habit with you throughout the rest of the year, and it will change your life. So do a stress reduction break. If you want to talk about more information about how to do a stress reduction break, refer to last week. We talked a lot about it. We also talked about trying some sort of mind-body exercises like yoga or Tai Chi or Qigong, if you can. If you see a class that appeals to you, give it a try. Drinking lots of water throughout the day and listening to the evening visualization at night. And those are the action steps for this week. Cool. But the important thing is, as we started the class, I just want to finish with introducing the concept that there's a shift in how you look at exercise. You're looking at exercise to create a specific hormonal objective in your body. That can be done in 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds. That can be done with some sort of adrenaline type of thing. There's lots of ways you can do it. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to look at exercise as something you have to do every day and it's drudgery and it's calorie burning. You don't want to do any of those things. You want to apply these very, very simple principles. Use visualization also. In creating the habit and also in helping evoke the get thinner, get eaten response, and you will create a great, incredible shift in your body. Again, do it when you're ready. If you're not ready this week, that's totally fine. Keep doing what you're doing and come back to this week in a month, in 3 months, in 5 months, whenever it's right for you. Awesome. Have an awesome couple of days. We will talk again Thursday night in the States, Friday morning in Australia, New Zealand. Happy to talk. These are our weekly question and answer sessions have been awesome. People have been really asking amazing questions and getting lots out of it. So definitely attend that class if you can. Feel free to talk to me. You probably have a lot of questions by now, and I'm here to help. Awesome. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for helping. Also, Amir and Nadia and everyone that's helping in the chat roles. And we will speak to you in a couple of days. Take care.